wonder if there are any in the audience who did not get to the platform, if you will stand. We would appreciate it. Just a moment ago, in the introductory words, Dr. Bassett made a statement with reference to the tragedies of last year. And as the year 1954 began with a tragedy for our board in the death of our treasurer, Mr. Groner, who was treasurer for over 30 years, so it closed with another great loss in the passing of our executive secretary, Dr. Alexander. 1954 was a year that brought change and expansion in all the departments of our work. My associate, Dr. Jones, stepped into the breach caused by the death of our treasurer, Mr. Groner, and since that time, with the aid and assistance of a very fine finance committee made up of the local board members, he has been in charge of our investment department. On June the 1st, Mr. Noe came as treasurer, taking over all of the work that is implied in this office. During 1954, we put on the greatest promotional program in the history of our board. We had the largest increase in members in all of the plans, and we inaugurated two new plans. They are by name, and you've heard them often, the Minister's Security Plan and the Baptist Southern Baptist Protection Plan. We also closed the Minister's Retirement Plan that began back in 1939. We closed it on July 1st, with the exception of the state of North Carolina. This year, our financial growth has shown the greatest increase in funds that we have ever reported in our history. But as we have grown, so have our problems multiplied. The workload in the accounting department tripled, bringing about personnel problems. The relief rolls in the states, instead of decreasing as perhaps it should, have continued to increase. And during the year, Social Security became a fact for our preachers, and with it has come some problems that we will have to face during this year and the years to come. Few Southern Baptist boards have ever sustained the loss in one year, such as we have in the past 12 months. With the gigantic task converging upon us in 1954, the loss we sustained in the sudden passing of Mr. Groner was even greater than such a blow would have been under ordinary circumstances. The loss of Mr. Groner had its effect upon the life of our late Executive Secretary, Dr. Alexander. Though he never complained and he never spoke in terms of ill health, yet those of us who were very close to him knew the added worries and responsibilities were telling in his health. He certainly knew his job and he did his job well. And it's fitting to say this morning that his last year in office was the greatest year in the history of this board. A tremendous program of promotion in behalf of the security plan and closing of the old minister's retirement plan was launched in January of 1954. There were articles and ads in the state papers and the Baptist program. Letters and follow-up letters were sent to every MRP member, pastors, and church treasurers. All the work was done with the full cooperation of the executive secretaries of all of the different states. As you recall, in order for the security plan to go into effect, 2/3 of the MRP members in each state had to agree to enter it. We announced last year at this meeting in our report that all of the states went over their goal by a large percentage. 1954 was the greatest year in relief and annuity board history. Every phase of the work has grown. New plans have been inaugurated and assets increased, but with this has come growing pains. It's interesting to compare the total number of certificates issued each year for the past 5 years. In 1950, there were 2,519. In 1951, 2,437. In 1952, 2,670. In 1953, there were 4,074, while last year, there were 15,554. In 1953, we almost doubled any previous year, but in last year, we issued almost four times as many certificates as any previous year in the history. Two new plans were inaugurated by our board last July 1, namely the Security Plan and the Southern Baptist Protection Plan. The Security Plan actually is not a new plan because It incorporates all the costs and the benefits of the old minister's retirement plan, of which you're familiar, plus liberalized benefits at extra cost. It is therefore simply a supplement to the old MRP, the widow's plan, as we have known it. The total cost of this security plan is 5% for the member, 5% for the church, and 5% for the state convention on a maximum salary of $4,000. The basic minister's retirement plan came to a close last July 1 in all the states except North Carolina. I want to say a word about the Southern Baptist Protection Plan, for it is an entirely new plan. Though its benefits are similar to the security plan, its cost is the same. It definitely has an attraction for the young preacher, the preacher in the seminary and college. The benefits are based upon the years of participation, with no ceiling as to the amount of annuity he may receive at retirement or the amount of annuity his widow may receive at his death. And that's whether he dies before retirement or after retirement. This new plan also has an added lump sum death benefit. It has the advantage of the members being able to pay his dues on a reduced salary basis should unforeseen financial difficulties arise. And of course, this is of tremendous value to those who also want to include Social Security. Last November, a letter was written to all the members of the minister's retirement plan and the security plan suggesting that they transfer to the protection plan if they were born after 1920. Now, this was done because it would give to the member a greater annuity at retirement, as well as a better protection for his wife. Hundreds have followed this suggestion and are transferring. In 1954, the total of all monies from all sources received by this board was almost $7.5 million. This is our largest income in any single year. It is $1.5 million more than 1953 total of over $6 million. The income for this year alone is equal to the total assets of the board after 24 years of history. We have this statement to make concerning the rates now being used with reference to gift annuities. As a result of a meeting with our actuary, Dr. George A. Huggins of Huggins & Company in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on last March 22nd, we offer the following statement. At the last meeting of the Committee on Annuities of the different pension boards of our nation, the present rates now in use by our board were re-approved. In other words, we are in line with the rates used by all the boards everywhere. Our office will furnish this information to any agency on request. It is rather difficult to measure the responsibility of the Relief and Annuity Board to our Baptist denomination. Many thousands of our pastors and denominational servants are depending upon it for security in their old age. Therefore, the benefits this board pays to its constituency are of even greater interest to us than its income. Last year, our retirement and relief departments combined paid $1,763,000 plus in benefits. This is an increase over 1953 of $110,000. You know, figures do not have a heart. But if these dollars could speak today, they would tell of the thousands who have been recipients of these funds and of the joy brought into their homes because of the ability of this board to meet its obligations. This is the second year the investment income has exceeded $1 million, with an increase over last year of more than $270,000. The total earnings on investments made through the 36 years of our history are now in excess of $11.5 million. This is but a partial accounting to the denomination of our stewardship. The assets of this board as of December 31st last were over $35 million, a net increase of $4.75 million over the previous year. 2 years prior to this, the financial report showed our assets to be approximately $10 million less than they are today. In other words, 35% of our total assets have come to us in the last 2 years. Who can say what the future holds? All the annuity plans experienced a very wholesome increase in reserve during the past year. Our capital fund reserve increased by more than 291,000 and now stands at more than 2 million. Our contingency reserve increased by more than 244,000 and amounts to more than $1 million. Actual figures, of course, are shown in the financial statement in your book of report. Though these figures sound very good, and it's very important that we begin thinking seriously about doing more toward complete funding of all annuities on the roll at the earliest possible date. And this should be followed by steps to fund pension credits that have accrued to those still in active service. These funds should come from perhaps three sources. First, we should stay in the capital needs program of Southern Baptist as well as the distributable budget. Second, an intense effort should be made in the securing of legacies through wills and gifts. And third, added funds should be given annually from the state conventions toward the funding of the state plans. As of January 1 last, Baptist ministers are eligible to participate in Social Security on a voluntary basis. The Relief Department of the Annuity Board, through its late Executive Secretary, Dr. Alexander, and its actuary, Mr. George A. Huggins, had a great deal to do with the passage of this law, making coverage for ministers voluntary instead of obligatory. A Southern Baptist Convention committee appointed to study and to recommend the type of coverage the denomination would most prefer, under the leadership of the chairman, Dr. Herschel Hobbs, and the cooperative efforts of Dr. Porter Ruth and other members of the committee, along with other denominational bodies, made their plea on Social Security before the congressional group in Washington. We feel we were successful in our efforts, getting far more in the law than the original bill promised. The fourth quarterly issue of our 1954 Voice of Security went to great lengths to explain fully Social Security, giving a comparative chart which enabled one to see costs and benefits of both Social Security and the Relief and Annuity Board plans. May I call to your attention a special folder that we have brought with us, and you will find in our booth, the Relief and Annuity Board booth, that explains Social Security to the Baptist minister. I hope that you will get a copy of it, as well as a copy of our annual report for this year. We are not advising you what you ought to do with reference to Social Security, but for your own sake, you should make a careful study of the rules and regulations governing it before you enter. Once you sign up, you can never get out. If you are a pastor, you have all of this year and next in which to make your decision. You pay Social Security in one lump sum for the year in which you make out your income tax return. I would like to emphasize this fact. Social Security in no way supplants the protection you get from our board. Our 1955 inflated dollar buys about half what it would back in 1939 when the MRP was inaugurated. The $2,000 maximum annuity then was sufficient, but it takes twice that amount today to meet the same need. And when we look at the facts then, we can but say Social Security has come at a good time to supplement, not supplant, the retirement program of our denomination. The administration of the many different retirement plans of the various agencies and states of our Southern Baptist Convention is a gigantic task. The problems brought about by rapid growth in numbers of members, multiplicity of plans and agencies are enormous. It could not be done without the splendid cooperation we've had, and I know we'll continue to have with the leaders of these various groups. Thank you is hardly the right phrase to say to you presidents or administrators or executive secretaries, but we do mean it from the depths of our hearts. With such a fine spirit of cooperation and understanding and the precious promises of Philippians 4:13, the entire staff of the Relief and Annuity Board join with the Executive Secretary in saying, we will succeed for Christ and you in making the Relief and Annuity Board truly the Southern Baptist Convention House of Security.
Thank you, Brother Reed. You have heard the report, and we are ready now for its adoption. time should have been given should be given for some discussion from the floor. Are there any questions you would like to ask Brother Reed or Brother Bassett? I hear none. Those in favor of adopting the report will please say aye. Contrary, no, and it is so ordered. We come now to the time for the Committee on Denominational Calendar. Brother Albert McClellan, Chairman, who will make that report, please.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the report of the Committee on Denominational Calendar as printed on page 266 and page 267 of the Book of Reports.
You've heard the motion as made and seconded that this, as printed in the Book of Reports, be adopted. Are there any questions? The Chair hears none. Those in favor will please say aye. Those who are opposed will please say no. Chair hears none. It is so ordered. We come now to the time for the Committee on Baptist Film. Brother Louis D. Newton of Georgia, Chairman, will make that report, please. Brother Newton, is coming. And while he's coming, Brother Alderman, would you please come? Brother Alderman is the newly elected first vice president for next year, and it's a pleasure to welcome you, sir. I have been asked if, come on here, Porter, you want to, he has a little, you know, Porter Bales come from Tyler, Texas, the city of roses, and he has another one to pin on you.
Dr. Haldeman, for 10 years, has averaged baptizing 275 into his fellowship, which is the record for the churches of Southern Baptist Convention.
Thank you, Dr. Porter. And thank you, my friends.
God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Brother Newton is recognized.
Brother President and brethren, if you look in your Book of Reports, please, you will find the report of the Committee on Baptist Film on page 261. Page 261. The 1954 convention meeting in St. Louis, Missouri, adopted the following recommendation of the Executive Committee, page 80, 1954 annual. I will not read all of that unless it is called for, but I do ask you to drop your eye halfway down that paragraph indented and catch these words: the purpose to consider the advisability and the practicability of producing a film or films of some Baptist personality, for example, William Carey or Roger Williams, with the authority to approach other Baptist bodies in this and other lands regarding such an undertaking and report back to the 1955 convention after conference with the Sunday School Board suggesting methods of producing such a film or films, including research and preparation of script, financing, and distribution, provided the cost of such investigation for the ensuing year shall not exceed $1,000. The actual expense of the committee, Brother President and brethren, was $538.45. The next paragraph says that we did approach these bodies, and the bodies approached were the American Baptist Convention through its General Secretary, Dr. Reuben Nelson. And Brother President, I hope that at the right time, proper time, any time, surely, this convention will pause and remember Dr. Reuben Nelson, the General Secretary of our sister convention, who is now seriously ill from a heart attack, will not be able to attend his convention in Atlantic City next week or the Baptist World Alliance this summer. But before Dr. Reuben Nelson was thus stricken, I had three conferences with him, also with Dr. McDorman of the Ontario and Quebec Conventions of Canada, and with friends meeting with us, both from the American Convention and the Canadian. Then we went to Nashville and spent an entire day with the people represented here, representing all of our SBC agencies, plus the members at large. This is where we are this morning, Brother President. We are agreed thus far that there is reason, we think sound reason, that we should go on studying this matter. And when we surveyed the situation, we found that in London this summer, the Lord willing, there will be at the Baptist World Alliance representatives of every Baptist body in the world with whom we would hope we might have some cooperation in this undertaking, should it develop. And so we are suggesting that you authorize us to meet in London without any expense involved for a further study there. We also recommend that this committee cooperate with representatives of the Southern Baptist Convention, particularly the Sunday School Board and the Foreign Board, in the production of Baptist films, commending these films to our people. Then the one about our meeting in London this summer, it being understood that that conference will not cost us any money in the way of expense. Brother President, I move the adoption of the report and leave the rest of the time allotted for any questions or discussion that the convention may wish.
You've heard the motion and second. Is there any discussion, any questions you would like to ask, Brother Newton? The brother here will come to the mic too, please.
I would like to ask if there couldn't be some motion pictures made by our Southern Baptist Convention with Spanish dialogue to be used among our Latin American people.
I'm so sorry, friend, I cannot hear you.
I would like to know if there wouldn't be some way that this committee could make motion pictures with Spanish dialogue to be used by our home missionaries among the Latin American people.
His question is it possible for this convention to make a moving picture in Spanish for use amongst our missions? Was that right?
My answer, Brother President and brethren, would be that the Foreign Mission Board is constantly making a study of the use of motion pictures in its ministry. And Mr. Schofield is a member of our committee. It is perfectly amazing to hear him recount what they are now doing, and I hope that this question raised by this brother may be referred to the Foreign Mission Board, because that's where it belongs, it seems to me.
Thank you, sir. Is that agreeable with you, sir?
If those are made available to about 1.5 million Latin Americans who are in the United States, yes.
All right, sir. Thank you. Are you ready for the motion? Those in favor will please say aye. Those opposed, no. And it is so carried. Yesterday, you know, we exchanged places with the Baptist World Alliance that it could speak at the time allotted for the Committee on Theological Education, which is the chairman of which is Brother Newton. And so we call now for that order, and Brother Newton will please make his report for the Committee on Theological Education.
Brother President, on behalf of our committee and on your behalf, I think it would help us if the president or the chairman of the Committee on Order of Business would now tell us precisely how much time is allotted for this, because you know that there are amendments which are going to follow, and I think it would help us all just to understand how much time do we have?
15 minutes. 15 minutes.
For the whole thing? Brother President and brethren, 2 years now you have had a committee studying the question of theological and missionary training financially supported by this convention. I call your attention to the fact that prior to the appointment of this committee, we had had other committees across the past decade and more studying this question of theological training as we, as Southern Baptists, feel our sense of mission. Now, as certain as you live, this convention must have thought that this was quite important, and the more we got into the work, the more important we found our assignment.
Last year, we just weren't ready. We had not done the work up to the point of taking your time for consideration. This year, we feel that we have something to lay before you. It is factual and not an effort to make it inspirational or emotional. I beg you, therefore, as we present our report, which is a progress report, that you will think of it as something that has resulted from days on days of work by your committee, in which we have been most helpfully aided by Dr. Cornett of the Education Commission. How important and timely this report is today may be reflected in many things that are happening to us. The first great shock that came to me was sitting on one of my deacon's porches on a Saturday afternoon and evening, listening to General Douglas MacArthur say, as he received the surrender of the Japanese military lords, he said, "Our problem now is primarily theological. If the flesh is to survive, it must be of the Spirit." And from that night on until this moment, Brother President and brethren, we have each, and together as a group, been realizing more and more the wisdom of our founding fathers, who in 1859, in faith, planted our first theological institution, yonder in Greenville, South Carolina. We have been more and more impressed by the wisdom of our fathers when in 1908, under the leadership of that towering man, B.H. Carroll, they planted the next theological institution in our territory, the Southwestern Seminary. Again, we've been impressed with the wisdom of our fathers when in 1917, they planted the third theological institution, now the New Orleans Seminary. And then in these recent years, in 1950, two other such institutions were received into this convention. We set our hands gladly and joyfully and gratefully and humbly to trying to establish these institutions for the training of the prophets of God to meet this day of destiny. Now in our work for these 2 years, we've been encouraged in many ways. Whilst we face the task of trying to establish enough theological opportunities and training for the mounting number of young men called of God to preach the gospel, the country generally has been concerned that it did not have as many young preachers as it needed. Therefore, one of the great foundations gave a large sum of money, several million dollars, and they secured the leadership of Dr. Niebuhr to make the study, in which they say this, that we may induce young men of ability to enter the Christian ministry. Our situation this morning as Southern Baptists, and you hear me now, please, our situation as Southern Baptists this morning is that the divine spirit of the living God is reaching out into the best, very best young men and women in your church and my church and all the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention and saying, "Follow me." And these finest young men and women we've got are answering humbly, here, Lord, I am, send me." And they are answering faster than we are providing teachers and schoolrooms and libraries in which to train them. And so our situation this morning, brethren, is simply this, that we have as Southern Baptists a situation which absolutely challenges every man, woman, boy, and girl who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord to meet this day of God's apparent visitation in his opening of the doors and all the doors if we will provide trained servants in which to preach the gospel, carry on the work of his churches. I call your attention to the fact that the Christian Century, the most widely read evangelical Christian journal, I suppose, on the face of this earth 2 weeks ago, was so impressed and mindful of this theological situation in the world that it devoted an entire issue to this question. And Dr. Harold Fire, the executive editor who is right here in this room now, I think, told me a moment ago in the press room that when they were planning that issue, that Dr. Niebuhr said to him, you should get an article from somebody in the Southern Baptist Convention for the Southern Baptist Convention. This humbles us, brethren, and should put every one of us on our faces. The Southern Baptist Convention, said Dr. Niebuhr, is doing the best job of any major evangelical body I know in training its young preachers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, your special issue on theological training should have something from the Southern Baptist Convention. He called Dr. Roland Level, the dean of our theological presidents, and he prepared an article of 2,500 words, which I said the other day in the executive committee, and I say it here today. The finest general brief presentation of what we are trying to do in the field of theological training that I've seen anywhere, and I thank Dr. Level and I thank Dr. Fine, the Christian Century, for giving us an opportunity to say to the entire evangelical world what we are trying to do in the field of theological training. That's how important this thing is. That's how far-reaching it is. That's how vital it is. And now I read very briefly, please, the recommendations we make with all of this before you. And then, Brother President, with your consent, I want us to see four charts that we are going to throw on this screen. And please, Dr. Slaughter, help me now. Don't let me overdo the time. But I want us to see those charts. Now, here are our recommendations. Turn over, please, to page 282. And you'll see two recommendations we make. First, that a committee be appointed to further study the need of theological education and, if deemed advisable and necessary, recommend the location of an additional seminary. And two, that the action of the 1950 convention regarding the relationship of the Southern Baptist Convention to Bible schools be reaffirmed. Those are the recommendations we make. I know, and you know, that good and cherished brethren are here from Kentucky and from and there you'll see the shifting American scene as it impinges upon the responsibility of Southern Baptists to meet a situation of this primary importance. Now let us have the second slide, please. The second slide is an undertaking on our part to indicate church characteristics within our fellowship. In 1933, do you notice the percentage of churches that were quarter time? In 1954, instead of 14,897 such churches, in 1954, 1,886. In 1933, we had 4,975 half-time churches. In 1954, we had 7,046 half-time churches. In 1933, we had 4,203 full-time churches. In 1954, where's the figure? 20,585 churches. Now, brother, with the rain coming up and the cool air blowing in, if you can't think of what this picture is saying to us to get ready with some trained men called of God to meet this situation, then, all right, let's see the third slide. Here now you see an effort to predict so we can catch it quickly. The ministerial students in the Southern Baptist Convention, colleges, and seminaries. In 1946, when we met in this very city, this beautiful, hospitable city of Miami, you see what the scoreboard is there. It is 0.3 across in the graph of ministerial students in SBC colleges and seminaries. And that 3 means what? It means thousands, don't you see?
there were 3,000 ministerial students in SBC colleges and seminaries in 1946 when we met here. Now move right on up to the year 1948, and we had 4,000 plus such students in colleges and seminaries. Move on over to 1950, and it was nearly 5,000. 1952, and it was 5,500. 1954, and it was above 6,000. And if you read this report, you'll get the exact figures. Now we move on, please, to the fourth of these charts. Ministerial students, Southern Baptist Convention, in Bible schools, academies, junior colleges, colleges, extension schools, and seminaries. Brother President, what we are undertaking here to do is to help the messengers to see quickly what the situation is today as reflected against the charts just shown. What are we as Southern Baptists doing to meet this great day of opportunity? In our seminaries themselves, our five seminaries, under the leadership of Mr. Lee Gallman, with an office in Jackson, Mississippi, we had enrolled this year 2,500 ministers, ordained ministers, serving churches out yonder on the field, who were taking work under the direction of the faculties of these seminaries in correspondence courses and otherwise, for which they receive credit, and that credit is given with the approval of the American Association of Theological Seminaries. Now, what I could do, Mr. President, would be to amend the figure from 2,500 actually now to above 3,000 of these ordained ministers serving churches who are getting training from our seminaries in that plan. The next chart shows the 409 ordained serving, some of them serving churches, but 409 ministerial students in our Bible schools of, as 1955. In the next chart, 78 such brethren in our so-called Baptist academies. In the next chart, 1,305 of these brethren in our Baptist junior colleges. In the next chart, 4,836 of them in our senior colleges. And in the next chart, 4,379 of them in our seminaries. In addition to that, through the extension work of our senior colleges, we have several thousand who are now receiving definite theological training as practical, practicing pastors of Baptist churches. Now, brethren, that's an effort to give you the picture of what's going on in the territory of the Southern Baptist Convention at this moment, where our brethren are, and what we must do if we adequately prepare for tomorrow in meeting the needs of these thousands of young men who are studying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Dr. Storer.
Thank you, Brother Newton.
Brother President, I move that we extend the time 10 minutes for further consideration of this matter.
And please let me, as chairman of this committee, second the motion, because it is our wish that these other brethren should be heard shortly.
You've heard the motion that's made and seconded. If you can hear it over the rain, those in favor, please say aye. Contrary, no, it is so ordered. You have 10 minutes.
I certainly did not dream that I was going to bring up such a storm, but I am glad that we have it, since it's brought a lot of our people out of the hallways into the convention hall proper.
You notice the folks who are in the dry are the ones who are important.
Amen. Mr. President, I would like to move an amendment to the report, beginning with number 2 of recommendations, on page 282, and to read as follows: that the Southern Baptist Convention request its Committee on Theological Education, or any other committee which the convention may appoint,
to visit and investigate the Clear Creek Mountain Preachers Bible School near Pineville, Kentucky, and the Baptist Bible Institute of Graceland, Florida, with a view to recommending to the 1956 session of the convention the acceptance or rejection of the offers made by the General Association of Baptists in Kentucky and the Florida Baptist Convention to the Southern Baptist Convention in memorials which are at hand from the General Association of Baptists in Kentucky and the Florida Baptist Convention. You will notice in the bulletin for today a publication of the memorial from the General Association of Baptists in Kentucky. On the back page you have that memorial. Whereas there are thousands of men being called into the ministry who have not had the advantages of an early education, many of whom are unable to undertake a course of training involving seminary, college, and even high school work, when they have already reached maturity and many have families to support, and whereas the attention of the Southern Baptist Convention has in recent years been called to the need for one or more Bible institutes within its territory for the purpose of offering instruction in the Bible and the methods of Christian service to those not seeking or not prepared to pursue courses of instruction on the degree level, and whereas the Committee on Theological Training appointed by the Southern Baptist Convention should study this whole question has not reported any plan to meet the needs of these men, now therefore the General Association of Baptists in Kentucky, an annual session at Georgetown, Kentucky, this 17th day of November, 1954, does hereby earnestly request the Southern Baptist Convention to enter the Bible Institute field of ministerial education and provide at least two or three such institutions for Christian and ministerial training to meet the needs of those who are called to the ministry but who cannot attend one of our Southwide seminaries. Second, that we suggest that the convention, in undertaking such new work, set up a policy of regulating such schools as to their administration, curricula, and courses of study with credits, therefore, with strict safeguards as to denominational control and cooperation, with a view to preventing any possible competition with our convention-wide seminaries. Third, we offer to the convention as one of these schools the Clear Creek Mountain Preachers Bible School, located near Pineville, Kentucky, subject to the ratification by the trustees of said school, and I have that ratification. The Clear Creek Mountain Preachers School has a campus of nearly 700 acres with some 50 permanent buildings suitable for school use and other activities incident thereto, altogether having an audit value of $612,319.29. Since 1942, this school has been conducted as a distinctly Baptist institution for the instruction of candidates for the Baptist ministry and other Christian work, on a level below that on which the usual theological degrees may be earned, and that throughout its history, this school has been drawing students from several states of the Southern Baptist Convention territory, the large majority of such students now being from outside the state of Kentucky. Fourth, we do hereby petition the Southern Baptist Convention to request its Committee on Theological Education or any other committee which the convention may appoint to visit and investigate the Clear Creek Mountain Preachers Bible School with a view to recommending to the 1956 session of the convention the acceptance or rejection of this offer. And I have a duly notarized copy of this memorial with me today.
Brother Wilkinson, I think we're a little bit, ahead of ourselves until we...
Brother President, I neglected to move the adoption of my report, and Mrs. McCart comes over here and says, Dr. Wilkinson can't move to amend until you move to adopt. I so move.
Motion is made and seconded that the report be adopted, and we have heard from Brother Wilkinson, and I think you have to
make a move. Well,
all right.
Chairman, I move the acceptance of this substitute motion that was offered, which I read a moment ago and which I will not read again unless you request it.
Amendment.
It is an amendment.
Is there a second? Motion is made and seconded. All right.
Brother President, Florida Baptists have a memorial that they want to bring in connection with this report here, and we're asking our president to so do. Florida Baptists have a memorial to this body that we wish to bring at this time in connection with this other memorial, and we're asking the beloved president of our state convention, Mr. Cecil Carroll, to read that memorial to you.
Mr. President and fellow Baptists, this is a memorial from the Florida Baptist Convention adopted unanimously in our centennial meeting in Daytona Beach, November 1954. Nearer. Whereas the work of the Baptist Bible Institute lies within the field of theological training, and whereas the Institute does not compete with or duplicate the work of the regular seminaries that are supported by the Southern Baptist Convention, or the colleges supported by Baptist state conventions, and whereas the Baptist Bible Institute in its present location is in position to render vital services to large numbers of Baptist churches in the southeastern part of our country by providing education suitable to the needs of their pastors, and whereas the Baptist Bible Institute serves an area that extends beyond the borders of any organized Baptist association or Baptist state convention, therefore be it resolved, first, that the Florida Baptist State Convention in regular annual session assembled memorialize the Southern Baptist Convention to take such steps as will provide for the ownership, control, promotion, and support of the said Baptist Bible Institute. And secondly, that the Florida Baptist State Convention offers its assistance to the Southern Baptist Convention in bringing about a necessary reorganization of this important teaching agency.
You've heard the reading of, I trust you have heard the reading of this memorial from Florida. Brother Cardle. Brother Cardle wishes to speak to the amendment.
Mr. President and fellow Baptists, this amendment, which has been presented by Dr. Wilkerson of Kentucky, I hope you will support. For a number of years, it has been my privilege to look in upon the kind of work that is being done by the Clear Creek Mountain Preacher School. I know something of the men who attend that school. I know that many of them would never enter the halls of preparation for their theological work if such an institution were not available. Now let us get one thing clear. This amendment does not commit the convention to but one thing. It does instruct the convention committee to study the memorials and bring back to a subsequent meeting of the convention a recommendation. Clear Creek Mountain Preacher School is now owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Baptists of Kentucky. We have this memorial coming from a sister state, along with a memorial from our sister state of Florida, and I hope you will support unanimously the motion to amend that is presented by Dr. Wilkins.
We ask indulgence, please, for a special announcement.
A 5-year-old boy has become lost from his mother, Danny War. Danny is 5 years old, and he's wearing today blue and white suspenders. If you see Danny, take him to the information desk, please. They're black and pink, of course.
You'll accept the amendment as to change of color. Brother Slaughter?
Brother President, your Committee on Order of Business certainly wants to give full time for full consideration of this important matter, and yet we have several other very important parts of this program before we close the morning session. The time is now up. I'm going to move you, sir, that we extend it 5 minutes in order that we might hope to conclude this.
The time is extended 5 minutes. You've heard, that is, you've Heard the motion. Is there a second? Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary, no.
Brother Chairman and members of the convention, I'm going to do something that I have never had the temerity to try to do before. Very few men have ever done it, but I believe that this matter is of such vital importance that our rural churches and men who specialize in rural activities ought to be represented on this committee. So I'm going to move that the Committee on Committees, when they name this new commission or committee to study the theological education program, be requested by this convention. Move that the committee's report be amended to include the statement that the Committee on Committees be requested to add at least one half of the membership of this new committee from among the men who serve rural churches or are working in specialized rural fields. There's a story that's gone around recently of an Arkansas mountaineer who made his first airplane ride. He boarded a plane in Fort Smith. He rolled in or glided into the port in St. Louis and saw the little red truck running out with its fuel. They went on up to Pittsburgh and again the little red truck. They landed in Washington and then again in New York City. And as they glided into the port in New York City, the little red truck, a man sitting by him who had become interested in this mountaineer, called his attention to the fact that they were coming in right on time, 300 miles an hour. And the mountaineer from my native state said, yes, and that little red truck's not doing bad either, is it? And I'm saying that these rural churches, according to the chart which you just saw, are not doing bad. But I'm saying also that the rural pastors and men who serve the town and village and open country churches have a better knowledge of what's needed in the way of a theological education than others. Therefore, my amendment that the committee so be instructed to name half of the members of this new committee from this field.
You've heard the amendment, that is, and is there a second to it?
Brother Chairman.
I had recognized a friend here. I have not heard an amendment. A second to the amendment. Now the motion to amend the amendment has been seconded, and that, of course, will have to be voted upon first. You want any more remarks on that? We don't have much time, you know. Those in favor of so instructing the Committee on Committees next year will please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will please say no. The ayes have it. That amendment to the amendment is carried. Now, do you wish?
Have you got to vote on the whole thing?
Are you? All right.
Brother President, I think we ought to think very carefully on our background. I am thoroughly sympathetic with every provision we can make to give adequate training to our brethren who perhaps entered late in the ministry and did not have the advantage of a college education. They have rendered a great service through the years. But from the very inception of our convention, our Southern Convention, in its relationship to our sister bodies in our state conventions and association, our forefathers have recognized that there were certain responsibilities in every field that rested upon the state body, others upon the Southwide body. The Southern Convention in 1845 was created primarily to advance the cause of missions at home and abroad. Later on, as we grew in numbers and strength, there did become the dire necessity of establishing a theological seminary for the training of our ministers. It has been recognized from our beginning that there should be the responsibility of the state bodies to provide adequate training for men who perhaps never go to a seminary. As a result, through our whole history until now, we have kept certain levels of training on the level of the state convention or association as their responsibility. Graduate training, we've recognized, perhaps was the responsibility of our Southern Convention. There's involved here, brethren, a new pattern and a new policy of our dual relationship to a common responsibility. The adoption of these amendments, and we go into the field of adopting the sponsorship of Bible schools on that academic level, brings the Southern Convention into a new field. Once we went into that field by establishing Montezuma College in New Mexico on the college level, some of you older brethren will recall that that venture cost us humiliation and some hundred thousands of dollars and really resulted in the death of the educational board. I raise the very potent question, if this whole field does not belong, as it has through the years, on the state convention level and not on the Southern Baptist Convention level. Therefore, I hope we'll leave it where our fathers before have left it, with the state convention to work out.
I'm going to ask Brother Merritt now, please, to read the amendment as made by Brother Wilkinson.
Brother President, the amendment is as follows. That the Southern Baptist Convention requests the Committee on Theological Education or any other committee which the convention may appoint to visit and investigate the Clear Creek Mountain Preachers Bible School near Pineville, Kentucky, and the Baptist Bible Institute of Graceland, Florida, with a view to recommending to the 1956 session of the convention the acceptance or rejection of the offers made by the General Association of Baptists in Kentucky and of the Florida Baptist Convention to the Southern Baptist Convention in memorials which are at hand from the General Association of Baptists in Kentucky and the Florida Baptist Convention.
Brother Fred, Brother Newton.
The time having expired, and I know you're ready to vote, it is only fair, I think, that your committee in making its report of its stewardship should say this. We spent actually days in the last 2 years, not hours, but days studying the Bible school situation. Though we did not have these memorials before us, we had the question before us of the Bible schools. In those days of study, we did not make a trip to Graceville or to Clear Creek. But we had the presidents of those schools there. We had the state secretaries in those respective states there. We had everybody else that wanted to speak there. We had all the letters there. So we have made a study, Brother President and brethren, of the Bible school situation, which is reflected in our recommendation that we reaffirm the action of another committee that studied these same institutions a few years ago and recommended, as you see in our report. Now, facetiously, let me say this before you vote. Of course, none of us would be presumptuous enough to think that we were going to be on a future committee, but I would like for the Committee on Committees to take into consideration the fact that they'll have to take this country preacher off of that committee, for I was born and reared in a country church so far from the railroad track that you couldn't hear the whistle blow even on a calm afternoon. I now live on an RFD route. But brethren, before you finish your consideration of this, remember that one reason why we have fewer country churches today than we had yesterday is that we have theological seminary trained pastors out there. Thank you so much.
You are ready now, I think, for the vote on the amendment as read by Brother Wilkinson. If I am incorrect, please, Brother Freeman, you will instruct me. Your amendment simply had to do with the personnel of the committee. No more time. The time is out, and if you are ready to vote on the amendment, you will please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will please say no.
No.
The chair will decide that the noes have it. That is to say that the amendment is rejected. Now, did you want to speak on the original? The time is up, and those who will favor voting on the original motion will please say aye.
Motion, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman. You mean the original
amendment? The adoption of, you have voted down the amendment. Now we are voting on the report of the committee.
I want to offer an amendment.
You wish to offer another amendment?
Yes.
Very well.
I want Dr. Newton here. He may just accept it. I want to save your time if he's here. I'd be honored to have him stand by me. Anybody is, and I want to express my appreciation for this report. The thoroughness, the clearness of it. It's just Newtonian, isn't it? And we thank God for it. Now, there was one matter in it that which I think, when the committee was set up, was intended that to be brought back, but since the committee did not have definite instruction, naturally, they did not bring some things back that I think is generally hoped they would. So before I tell you what I think it is, I'll read my amendment, which will save you time and let you know what I'm talking about. If Dr. Newton will accept it, why, we'll save some time. That this to be added to the first recommendation, that this committee be instructed to bring to the next convention a detailed report of the work of the Carver School of Missions and Social Work and recommendations as to its future relationship to the program of theological, religious, and missionary education of the Southern Baptist Convention.
That offered an amendment.
I offer that as an amendment.
I think it's a much better Baptist procedure for the body to do it, and I appreciate what you said, but if I stood up here and said, yes, we'll do that, that would be... I think it's better for the convention to do what it wants to do about it, and I think your amendment will pass.
All right. I move that amendment, Brother President. And let me just say this. It has a relationship to all that's been said here this morning, as well as to the body of this committee's report.
Is there a second to that amendment? Motion is made and seconded. Now to the original report brought in by Brother Newton.
Mr. President, let me just raise this point. The Carver School of Missions, the Carver School of Missions and Social Work does not belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. It belongs to the Woman's Missionary Union. It is owned by the Woman's Missionary Union. It is completely controlled by the Woman's Missionary Union. And I just raise the question whether or not we have the right to study an organization over which the Southern Baptist Convention has no control whatsoever. I think you could study the relationship that we have with all agencies, that we've just not gone into that field.
Brother President, I simply say this, that this is based on this idea, which I, out of some contacts over the convention pretty widely, is simply the fact that this convention has been putting large sums of money into this institution and have committed for 1956 sums. And it seems to me that it is only right that the convention should know about the institutions into which they are putting money and their future relationship.
Dr. Hargroves, I wonder if you would amend it to say that this committee be instructed to study the financial support of this institution by the Southern Baptist Convention, then that would put it within the purview of action of the Southern Baptist Convention, because we are supporting the institution financially, and I think that would that be satisfactory?
Brother Ruth, that would be entirely satisfactory, because I think in studying that, they will make all the rest of the study I had reference to.
Brethren, let's be very sure now that what we adopt when we vote now is what you want to adopt. Is it written out just like you want it?
No, it isn't written out at all. Brother Hargrove's motion has originally made was not what could have been made, because it was out of order. But what he has now said is that the committee be instructed to study the financial relationship with the convention and the Carver School of Missions, which is quite another thing.